Over the years, I've come to appreciate a wide variety of music. But I got to tell you that initially I was raised on country and bluegrass, because that's the only kind of music you listened to back in central Indiana where I grew up. And as I was growing up, I came to appreciate the legendary Lester Flatt and Earl Scruggs. Y'all heard of them? Sure, anybody that ever watched the Beverly Hillbillies, that wonderful TV show, you know that the Ballad of Jed Clampett was written and performed by Flatt and Scruggs. But before that song ever became popular, they were known for a commercial for Martha White All-Purpose Self-Rising Flour. Anybody ever baked with that or know anything about that? The younger generation is saying, what in the world is that crazy guy talking about? But some of you know about Martha White Flour, right? Well, they had a little jingle that went along with it. For the finest cornbread you can bake, get Martha White. I almost want to sing this, but it won't come out right. For the finest cornbread you can bake, get Martha White Self-Rising Meal, the one all-purpose meal, Martha White Self-Rising Meal, for goodness sake. Now you know why I had to bring that in. For goodness sake. And that's how they sold Martha White All-Purpose Self-Rising Flour. It was just the good stuff to get. For goodness sake, go out and buy this stuff. So that was the appeal, to buy that self-rising flour. Well, we want to talk about goodness sake in a different sense. We want, for goodness sake, to have the quality of goodness in our lives, and there's a greater appeal to the fruit of the Spirit of goodness. Galatians 5:22 tells us that the fruit of the Spirit in particular, as we look at this one quality today, is goodness. For goodness sake, we want to cultivate the quality of goodness in our lives. And you know, before we even get into this, I felt it impressed upon me to make sure and clarify what it is we're talking about with all the fruit of the Spirit, and in particular as we focus on this today. You know, it's awfully easy to stand before you and to present God's Word and these kind of things that we ought to just try harder and do. And here's a specific example where you cannot try hard enough to produce goodness in your life. It is fruit of the Spirit. That means it originates with the Spirit, and the only way that you get the Spirit is you've got to be a baptized, born-again believer. And I trust and pray that each of us in this room are, but if you are not, that needs to be priority number one. You've got to be a born-again, baptized believer in order to get the Spirit of God, in order to have the quality of goodness spring up in your life. So let's be abundantly clear on that. You cannot do it on your own. It's something that God does within. It's an inside job. So, as we talk about, for goodness sake, developing the quality of goodness, God has to do it. It is called fruit, as we've said before. Since it is fruit, it takes time. There is no instant goodness in our lives. The day that you commit your life to Christ, you do not instantly become this good, overflowing with fruit of the Spirit kind of an individual. It takes time for there to be a harvest. It is the character of God being formed within. And I'm reminded what a distinct privilege it is that God would form His character inside of us. Isn't that an amazing privilege that we have? God cares enough about us that He wants to form this within us. He wants to shape us and make us to be like Him. And so I'm very much humbled as I consider this quality and all of these qualities that God wants to shape and mold His character within each of us, within me. So again, it is the character of God. I want to share with you a few verses as we consider the fact that God is good. Exodus chapter 33, verse 19. God said, "I myself will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show compassion on whom I will show compassion." God talks about His goodness that would be passing before. So God is characterized as good. Psalm 25, verse 7. "Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions," says the psalmist. "According to your loving kindness, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord." And so the psalmist's appeal was for God's goodness. Based on your goodness, God, show mercy toward me. And thank God for His goodness that He would show His mercy and His kindness to us. Psalm 31, verse 9. "How great is your goodness, says the psalmist, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you have wrought for those who take refuge in you before the sons of men. He proclaims how great is the goodness of God. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 14, my people will be satisfied with my goodness, declares the Lord. We come this morning to testify to that. We are satisfied with the goodness of God. If it were not for the goodness of God, we wouldn't be here, would we? Because God's goodness has provided His Son to be a sacrifice for us. God's goodness has allowed us to be covered over by that sacrifice so that we can receive that as a gift, as the fruit of the Spirit. And so we are satisfied with the goodness of God. God is good to us continually. How many blessings did He pour out in your life yesterday? Did you try to count? I certainly didn't try to count them in my life, but I know that my life was filled with the abundance of the goodness of God. God cares enough to do good things out of the goodness of His character. Luke chapter 18, verses 18 and 19. An interesting teaching by our Lord Jesus Christ. A ruler, it says, questioned Him, questioned Jesus, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus' response is so very, very interesting in verse 19. And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. Powerful and an important statement. Jesus very effectively clarified something of utmost importance, and that is the fact that God alone, he says, is good. It is God's character. It is God's nature to be good. God cannot help but to be good because that's who He is. And so Jesus say, why do you flippantly call me good? There's only one that's good. It's God alone. Is He saying He's not good Himself? He makes a distinction between His goodness based upon His nature. Again, it is God's very nature to be goodness, to be good. The goodness that Jesus has was something that God was given to Him because Jesus had a choice. He could have chosen something other than goodness in His life. God could not possibly make a choice. And so the distinction, James chapter 1, verse 13, let no one say when he is tempted that I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, and He Himself does not tempt anyone. So in God's goodness, it is not possible for Him to be tempted. It is not even remotely possible for God to tempt anyone else. However, we know concerning Jesus that He was tempted. It says that He has been tempted in Hebrews 4:15. He's been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. And so we're very, very thankful that Jesus, being tempted between goodness and badness, did not choose badness. And since He made a choice for goodness, we have His sacrifice to cover our badness and our sins. But He had a choice, a very real choice. And that's an important thing to consider. Jesus has been tempted in every way as we are. I identify with the Jesus that knew what it was like to be human and to struggle with the emotions that we all struggle with and yet to be victorious. And so He has the goodness of God because He overcame the temptations that He faced. And so He makes that distinction. He could have been bad if He'd have wanted to. God simply could not. So that one who called Him a good teacher, Jesus rightly clarified, there's only one who inherently is good, and it is God Himself. And so we rejoice in the fact that Jesus chose the goodness of God, even as we have the opportunity to make a choice for it as well. Goodness, then, the fruit of the Spirit, something that God wants to produce in our lives. God wants to cultivate that within us. We cannot produce it ourselves. It is absolutely, utterly impossible for us to be good in the way that God wants us to be. I appreciate the fact that Paul tells us that the battle for goodness is a hard-fought battle. Romans chapter 7, verses 18 and 19. And Paul is just bluntly honest when he says, I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I want, I do not do. But I practice the very evil that I do not want. Can you imagine if Paul came and stood before us today and shared with that kind of honesty? I know within me that there's nothing good. I'm not a good person. And I think Paul was tremendously honest in saying that. In my flesh, I know what I am. Just like each one of us, if we take some good introspection, you know, I'm not a very good person. I know what I am capable of thinking and doing. I know that there is no goodness in my flesh, in my natural self. I have a willingness, as Paul says, to do good. I want to do the right thing. I believe every one of us want to do the right thing. But how many times do we do the wrong thing instead? In spite of our best intentions, we end up doing something we sure wish we hadn't done. The willingness is there, but the actual doing of the good is such a very difficult battle. The good that I want to do, I don't end up doing it. The very thing I don't want to do, how many times do I wind up doing that? I think Paul goes on to say, what a wretched man I am. I got a battle within. And so Paul was painfully aware that he did not possess the quality of goodness that God wants, that fruit of the Spirit. That was going to have to be an inside remake from God Himself, because Paul knew that he could not possibly produce it. And I hope that each of us come to that point as well. In our discussion in Sunday school class, I was hit again with this whole thing that what God wants from me, I can't do. Even the least thing, I cannot possibly do that. And I was humbled as I thought about our discussion. It kind of just drove me flat on my face saying, God, have mercy, because I can't do the slightest thing that you command me in your word. It takes your Spirit doing an inside job, or else it is simply not going to happen. I want to lift up this principle before you today. I want you to think about this, because I think this is key and critical in cultivating all of the fruit of the Spirit, and especially goodness, as we focus on it today. Doing springs from being, but doing helps cultivate being. And think on that and challenge me if you think differently, but I think that makes sense. I think there is a truth in that. Doing ultimately springs from being. Goodness, if I'm going to do good things, it springs up from the character of being good that God produces in me by His Spirit. And so those deeds come forth from that. But there's kind of a reciprocal relationship. Doing, the act of doing things that are good, also helps cultivate that fruit of the Spirit within. And so goodness in terms of character and goodness in action go hand in hand. Character and action work hand in hand. So, as the character of God is formed within us, proactively initiating good deeds helps to cultivate the soil of our lives for better growth in character, in particular in goodness. Amos chapter 5, verse 14 in the Old Testament. Seek good and not evil, that you may live, and thus may the Lord God of hosts be with you. From that, I take it to believe that as I actively seek to do good, as I actively seek the good character within that the fruit of the Spirit would produce, the God of hosts will be with me. I'm in partnership with God as I make it a priority to do good and to let His Spirit cultivate good within. So I'm in a better position to partner with God. 3 John 11, I think, goes very much along with that. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. The one who does good is of God. The one who does evil has not seen God. And so negatively, make sure that we do not imitate that which is evil. There's plenty of evil examples in the world, plenty of evil deeds, and we can imitate those things. The writer says, don't do it. Imitate that which is good. Look at good deeds in action. Look at people that have the fruit of goodness in their lives and imitate that. Practice that. Because the one who does good is of God. You are in partnership with God. You have a special union with God as you agree together to do good and cultivate good in your life. This business of imitating, I think, is very, very important, a very practical step. Jesus, the greatest imitator of all, John chapter 5, verse 19, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself unless it is something He sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. That sounds like an imitator to me. Jesus, again, getting back to that thing about, I'm not good, God alone is good. I can't do anything at all except that I imitate my Father. And so the kind of relationship that He enjoyed, what I see my Father doing, that's what I do. That's the only way that I'm going to be good, is to imitate my Father. And what a tremendous example and pattern for us. Don't imitate evil. There's plenty of it in the world. Instead, imitate your Heavenly Father. Imitate your Savior, who's in the habit of imitating the Father as well. So imitation goes a long way in cultivating that fruit of the Spirit of goodness. Practicing acts of goodness is also very, very important. Romans chapter 15, verse 14. Paul writes and says, "Concerning you, my brethren, the believers in Rome," he said, "I myself also am convinced that you yourselves," notice this, "you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able also to admonish one another." What a high compliment. Paul writes to these believers and says, "You have the fruit of the Spirit of goodness being cultivated in your lives. You yourselves are full of goodness." What an amazing compliment and tribute. We want that to be said about us, don't we? We want it to be said that we're full of goodness, that God's Spirit is so productive in our lives that we are characterized as those people who are good. And I believe I'm looking at a body of believers that takes that seriously, that desires to cultivate that fruit of goodness within, the character goodness that overflows in acts of goodness. And I know it exists in this body of believers because we care for one another and we do genuine things, genuine acts of goodness to express that toward one another. There's a harmony here, which I think is so refreshing and so very, very important. That is exhibiting goodness, the fact that we get along and that we work together. There is a commitment to a common purpose. God's Spirit of goodness within causes that to happen. Unselfish deeds that we call crazy love, those things spring forth from this body of believers toward outsiders because the Spirit of God is cultivating goodness within us. And so because the pursuit of goodness is a priority with each of us, I believe that we're able to say, as with the psalmist, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Psalm 23, verse 6. Indeed, making it a priority to pursue the God of goodness, making it a priority to let His Spirit cause goodness to spring up in our lives, we can agree with that and say, indeed, surely goodness and the mercy of God will follow me all the days of my life. And eventually then after that, I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord when God comes and sets up that dwelling place on a renewed earth. And so that is our hope and that is our promise. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11. Seems like a very good prayer to leave us with this morning. "To this end also," Paul says, "we pray for you always, that our God will count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power." That desire for goodness, I believe it is here. I believe the people of God in this room have a desire for that goodness. And so as Paul prayed for those believers, I think that we can pray for one another always, that our God will count us worthy of our calling. It's a high calling, and we know that we're not up for it. But God, make us worthy through your Spirit. Fulfill that desire, every desire for goodness within, both in character and in deeds. And may God accomplish that and do that in our lives. And so I think it's very fitting to leave this morning with that same prayer for us each one. And may we echo that prayer as we pray for one another.